I would like to see 6 wickets tomorrow and I could still ball before lunch or just after lunch for about 50 or 60 runs maximum, and the West Indies just go and knock it off.
Mm. All right. I think that's good. As a West Indian to the bone, I agree with you. I want to thank you, Ambassador Watts, for coming through and talking to us. Continue to enjoy the television coverage. Are you enjoying it,
Ambassador Watts? Yes, I'm enjoying it. I've not done it for a while, but I'm really enjoying it now, which is good.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your afternoon there in Antigua.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. There you have it. All right.
Cheers.
We got Toby Radford still with us, and of course, we've also got a very good friend, Roland Butcher. We've been joined by the Vice President of Cricket West Indies, Dr. Kishore Shallow. Dr. Shallow, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening, Andrew. I'm fine. Good evening as well to your colleagues, your esteemed panel, and all your listeners this evening.
Well, you know, we try to bring the best, the big guns on the show, and we know got the biggest gun of all, the Vice President. Of course, you've got an election coming up.
I thought you were going to say Dr. Ford.
Well, I expect to hear from Dr. Ford. In fact, when you said that, Dr. Smalls, Ford's smile was as broad as St. Vincent and the Grenadines, too.
Yes, man. Toby, good to see you as well. And I always enjoy, you know, hearing your analytical views. And
thank you very much. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hope you're fine as well, man.
Right.
Good. Thanks very much.
Right. No, Dr. Shallow, why should we re-elect you as Vice President of Cricket West Indies?
Well, Andrew, you know, when you look at what we have done over the last 2 years, you know, I think, you know, we have really done a good job. You know, we have carried out a mandate asked of us by our colleagues, our directors across the region. And not using COVID-19 as an excuse, but I think COVID presented us with opportunities to really demonstrate true leadership, you know, what Cricket West Indies was longing for a period of time. And I think overall, you know, by all measurements, I think the feedback has been quite positive in terms of our performance. But I'm sure we'll get more into the details, you know, over the next few minutes in the program, Andrew.
You have been Vice President for about 2 years now. What are some of the major achievements?
We have spoken about them over the last few, at least last year, you know, and I could repeat them for you, Andrew.
Sure,
some of them.
Sure. I want to hear them.
One of the key things, and I'm sure that your entire panel and listeners would agree, the repairs done with our stakeholders, government, heads of government across the region. We now in a position where prime ministers want to speak to Cricket West Indies again. We know that at one point, there are some prime ministers did not want to have any involvement with Cricket West Indies, simply because of the leadership and the disrespect that they receive from the past leader, the immediate past president, especially. And then we talk about players, expanding our players' pool. There will be absolutely no one argue that our players, most of our players, are now available to play for West Indies. Players, you know, and we could give examples. Nicholas Pooran, at one point, you know, we were wondering if he would ever play for West Indies again. Then we had Dwayne Bravo, Fidel Edwards, and I would give this case, Rakeem Cornwall. In 2019, I am well aware that selectors made a decision that they were not going to select Rakeem Cornwall, not even for West Indies A team, for the simple fact established then that he would not be considered for selection on the West Indies men's team. And that's a fact, Andrew.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that's a fact. You can, I know your man, you know.
Yeah, I certainly do my investigations there.
Yes, and you could check it. It's not hard to confirm either. Rakeem was left out of our 8 teams just around 2019, or 2019, probably late 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as I said, for the simple fact that he was no longer to be considered to play for the men's team, and it was thought there and then that it was pointless selecting him for A team if he's not going to be considered for senior team. Rakeem has since gone on and won a few games, and I'm sure he will be winning us more games in the future. And the players pool, when you look at the Super 50 that just concluded, seeing players available, all our senior players in the West Indies available for that tournament, including Dwayne Bravo, who didn't play the tournament, but actually attended the tournament as a mentor to the young players, right? I think that's a tremendous accomplishment in terms of expanding our players pool by rebuilding that relation with our players and our other stakeholders. Also, we talk about financial reform. When we took office in 2009, Andrew and colleagues, we were in a mess, absolute mess. We were wasting money left, right, and center, right? We operated on the premise that in the future, so for example, in 2019, we anticipate, you know, endless surplus, right? In influx of cash revenue, you know, bumper years, we say. And then the following year, you would come to a point where, as you know, that the revenue to be generated would be probably quarter of that, but yet would increase all of our expenses in that year. And so what we found was poor management, and we end up having to borrow money, and then obviously repaying interest over a period of time and so on. Just really not prudent financial management. We have fixed that, as you know, and you have read the PKF report. Mm-hmm. Quite a few recommendations came to the board, and we have implemented majority of those, which has certainly helped us to be in a much better place where financial management is concerned. And you would have learned recently that we have signed a few deals, major deals. That, again, you know, is because of confidence in our organization under the leadership of Ricky Skerritt. And, of course, being in a position of managing our finances better, you know, we could obviously invest those money in a much wiser way, much prudent way going forward. And there are others. Our coaching program, Toby would attest to you that, you know, in the region, from his experience, our coaches are not at the level where they should be if our players are going to, you know, so a fellow like Toby and others, Phil Simmons and the coaches at the senior level, when our players reached it, they reached that stage unprepared for international cricket. And so the workload on these guys are tremendous. It's a lot of things that should have been taught at the, not even the franchise level, but even at club level in some of these countries. They are not taught. The fundamentals are not taught. And that is because we have had a very poor coaching system in the region. And we have recruited since Chris Bramazon, as you know, Andrew, out of Australia, who is our coach and development manager. And he is tasked with upskilling our coaches throughout the region, right? So that our players could be taught more from grassroots level up, under 15, under 17, under 19. And this is for both male and female. So that by the time they get to a Toby Radford at the international level or Phil Simmons at the international level, you know, it's more of, you know, just honing on, you know, instead of just nurturing them slightly or more, what we would say, adjusting and more of the mental facets of the game, right, to get them to, you know, be more consistent at that level, but certainly not with the techniques and so on that we have now coming through with all the deficiencies at that level. So a lot of areas we have addressed. I would also add the selection systems, which we all are quite familiar with, establishing the first selection policy ever for West Indies cricket. And it, you know, it goes on and on, Andrew, in terms of the accomplishments over the years, the last 2 years.
Dr. Ford.
Hey, hi. Dr. Shallow, with the beginning of the next term, what are the three important things that your administration would like to achieve for Cricket West Indies, and you can sequence them in importance if you wish?
Yeah, well, you know, we obviously have to build on the foundation set. Some tasks we will continue to work on. We have reviewed or revised our Cricket Force plan to a Cricket Force Plus plan now going into the second tenure. Some of those things that we have listed, and I'm sure you would have seen our document. If not, I'll share them with you at some point, Dr. Ford and the other members of the panel. But we talk about greater investment in grassroots cricket, you know, obviously in partnership, collaboration with governments across the region. expanding that same coaching program that I just spoke about, reviewing our regional professional franchise system. You know, what we need to do is improve the standard and the culture within that whole franchise system, getting those players to whether it's play more intense cricket on the field, right? But also off the field, ensure that they want to improve at all times. Make sure they work closely with the coaches, the SMCs, the physios, getting them to a state of readiness for international cricket. We also have to capitalize on, you know, the global audience and fans we have of West Indies cricket. We have increased or improved that tremendously where, if you look at our digital platform, you know, millions of views of viewership over the last 2 years as well. And what we have to do is now try to, you know, take advantage from a commercial side with regards to the fan engagement. We talk about also greater international exposure for our youth players, both male and female, whether it's under 19, our emerging teams. And then one of the key things that I'm now Roland for sure, you know, is very passionate about is high performance system. That is something that we must get going, and that would be done, you know, by implementing a master plan at the CCG in Antigua. You know, another benefit, another significant gain achievement over the last 2 years, and this often goes unmentioned, but is the use of science and technology. You know, when we look at the panel, the selection panel established by the Selection System Review Task Force, one of the recommendations there was to have a system analyst assigned with the panel. And it is because we want to make decisions, more informed decisions with data. And so we have someone assigned to that. We also have a system of recording data for players, that is our smarter based program and so on. So we have been using technology and science. We have been incorporating fitness and Andrew, the list goes on. I could say we could go on and on with our 10-point plan from 2019 and the one in 2021 going forward.
Mm-hmm. Just before you come in, Doc, somebody's asking a question. You spoke specifically about Ryan Cornwall. And they're asking, and they said maybe Roland can comment on this. What's happened to Shane Durridge? Can you tell us, Dr. Shallow?
What happened to Shane Durridge?
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to him, Andrew?
No, I mean, we haven't heard anything at all. I mean, Roland can certainly help here. I mean, you've been talking specifically about, of course, Ryan Cornwall, but I've gotten a lot of WhatsApp messages. Yeah. Of course, you know, he came back from New Zealand. What's happening to him? Do you know? Or Roland can help us?
I personally have spoken to Shane.
Okay.
Because no doubt, and we would all agree that Shane still has a tremendous future in West Indies cricket, and he's working closely with our medical experts so that he can get back in the field and get back playing cricket again. But that is where he is. We 100% support in Shane, and we'll continue to do so. And I mean, I am certainly looking forward to him being back on the field playing for West Indies.
What is the nature of his injury? What is the nature of his injury, Dr. Shallow?
Andrew, I listen to your program every now and then, and I've heard you asking that question over and over. If you really want an answer, I could provide you with Dr. Obergustan's contact, so he would be the best person to discuss that with.
Oh, fair enough. Or even Roland Butcher, because he's a selector.
I'm not sure about Roland, but if you want to do ball, I can give you some information.
Dr. Butcher, can you help us? What's happening to Shane Durridge?
I'm not a doctor, and I spoke to Shane a couple of days ago because I check with him from time to time. Mm. You know, he's fine.
Good.
Get himself fit. Obviously, with the lockdown in Barbados, we can't practice nets, etc. But he's doing his physical work, etc. And you know, he's on the way back.
Wonderful. Well, Toby Radford, you've been listening very, very closely. Maybe we can bring you in. You got Dr. Shallow. Any concerns as we go into the elections? Toby, any questions for Dr. Shallow?
No, I mean, look, I stay out of the politics. I come on and talk cricket, so I don't want to get too involved in elections or whatever. Obviously, having worked there for a long period of time and been involved sort of on and off for the last 10 years of West Indies cricket, I'm a sort of a passionate observer. I still work with one or two privately, some of the players. And I've been really pleased in the last couple of months to see some good results. I thought Bangladesh was a real move forward in the way they played, and to get a win like that away from home. I'm pleased that they got some wins in the last few weeks. So, look, I want them to do well, mate. I want the players to do well. I want the team to do well. And I think all you want is that there's consistent management from the board, that selection is consistent. I think that's all players want. Players want consistency and fairness. And clearly there has to be good financial management. All of those things need to take place. And, you know, from my point of view, may the best man win, because we want a good product. And West Indies is an enormous product around the world, isn't it, to market. And a winning product is an even better product to market. So, you know, if we can get winning and the board is consistent and fair and marketing the game well, I think everyone is happy. And I'd be delighted to see it from here in the UK, you know.
Dr. Shallow, there's been some very muscular discussion. Your challengers have gone after you, Mr. Senassi there in Guyana and Calvin Hope in Barbados. I was rather interested to see the press release from your president. Is Cricket West Indies deeply divided at the board level?
I don't think so. What we have had consistently over the last 2 years was a couple members, and I'm going to be as frank as possible with you, Andrew.
Sure.
You know, we have sat in boardroom over the last couple of years where we have been challenged on almost everything by a significant minority, I would say. Right. I won't translate that as divided. They are just persons who have not gotten over the defeat of their good friend Dave Cameron. And so they have made the conscious decision to be opposition. And it's no surprise to President Ricky Skerritt and myself, or any of the other directors, I'm sure, who have sat in boardroom with us, that we have challenges from both Senassi and the other gentleman there. And that is just the reality. We have accepted that. And we take it on board as a democratic process. We welcome it. You know, we are not going to be like some who are not open to elections, Andrew. That is not our style. We believe in being diplomatic and democratic. And we are going to go about it. We're looking forward to the elections on Sunday, both President Skerritt and myself. And I can guarantee you, I'm assuring you, Andrew, that the directors are looking forward to it as well, to show their full support and just reconfirm that they are 100% behind Skerritt and Shallow.
So you expect to win this comfortably then, Dr. Shallow?
Andrew, I would say 8-4, but there's a possibility that would be 9-3 as well.
Ooh, could you explain?
Well, you do the math. I mean, it's 12 voters. And 12 voters. And
8-4 or 9-3.
I see Roland laughing because he's quite familiar with the process, you know.
so
we are that confident. We just going through the process as we should. Again, we are open to you know, being, you know, to a democratic system. That is what President Skerritt and myself have advocated, and we are going to ensure that, you know, Cricket West Indies continues that way under our leadership.
Dr. Shallow, in 2019, Dave Cameron had double nominations and lost 8-4. Are you worried about a backlash? You never know, because sometimes people don't care what the mandate. Dr. Shallow?
Well, Dave allowed his arrogance to get the better of his judgment, right? Ooh. And that is the difference, that, you know, President Skerritt and myself are, you know, humble individuals, very calculated individuals. And, you know, if we tell you 8-4, the minimum, then believe it, that is what is going to happen.
8-4. So 9-3 means that maybe a vote, yeah. Roland Butcher, I may come from Barbados or Guyana. Roland, are you a delegate?
Well,
are you going to be voting?
Well, Well, let me tell you why I said possibly 993. I would not be even, you know, say, well, if it happens to be 10-2, I would not be surprised, because as I said, directors have sat in the boardroom for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see these, they have witnessed and observed these same two gentlemen
mm-hmm.
operate. They are not capable of leading West Indies cricket. They do not have West Indies cricket at heart.
Ooh.
They have personal motive, and directors who are going to vote know this, Andrew.
Oh, I
so
see.
So what they have in Skerritt and myself are two leaders that they know they can trust, who are going to stick by their word, and who will continue to put cricket first in our decision making.
Mm.
And that is the vast difference with taking the risk with these other two gentlemen.
No, Dr. Shallow, your opponents, they've got a concern in terms of the voting process. Is it going to be by a show of hands, or is it going to be secret ballot, Dr. Shallow?
Andrew, we have a corporate secretary who is responsible for the process and our constitution to guide us there. And, you know, that is public knowledge. If you want, it is unfortunate as this is the last Tuesday before election, as I probably might have suggested the corporate secretary come and explain that to you. But I'm not going to go through it publicly, certainly not on this forum. And the other guy is aware of it too. I mean, they have been on the board longer than myself. I have been on the board just...
No, but Dr. Shallow, my investigation... But my investigations tell me that there's a big concern in relation to your opponents, because traditionally you have secret ballot, but apparently it is not going to be this way this time. It's going to be by vote of hands, and they're concerned about that. Can you explain
why,
that?
Why should they be concerned about it?